How about now?
Oh, there it is. The dulcet tones of my bourbon.
I knew there was something. What does it keep doing that?
The mute button?
No, it keeps fucking changing my my input.
Well, just put it in and leave it in.
Well, goddammit. That's what she said. And, you know, I fucking, I left it in. And 9 months later, here we are.
I told you, if it feels good, I'll leave it out.
Oh, that's been my motto since, like, third grade, bro.
Agreed.
You just don't know. You just don't know. God, now I'm all discombobulated. God.
Oh, no.
Alexa!
Oh, no.
God dang it.
Go get yourself some Beaujolais.
This recording of the Nerdy Legion podcast with Martin Ferretti and Nick Wetmore is just not going very well today, Nick.
Oh, no. Is it going to be another lost podcast?
What's lost happening here? No, I mean, we're good. Like, it says it's recording. I can hear you. You can hear me. We're a happy family. I don't know what's happening right now. I'm lost.
Hey, can we have a little chit-chat right now?
Listen, we're chit-chatting right now.
I don't care if this goes out or not. Remember when you said, I keep losing my air conditioning, and sometimes I have to go out there and kick it. Can you hear my air conditioning?
Nope.
Can you hear it now?
No.
Really? Wow, this is a good microphone then. I swear to God, the fan must be going 1,000 miles an hour. I'm outside, and I swear to God, when you're inside the house, like on the sofa, which is right inside where the fan goes,
yeah,
you can feel the wall vibrating.
Holy Jesus.
It is so ready to go, but the wife and I are committed to getting new windows. So we're like, we'll do the air conditioning furnace in the fall. Let's put this off for about 5 months.
Yeah. I've got a fan right next to my face, which I know it comes off on the microphone because when I edit my shows, I can always hear the little buzz, but it's easy to take out, so it doesn't matter. It's called noise reduction. If you want the pro tip, just put the tip in it.
Ew. Oh, and hey, thanks for your very detailed response to my comic book question earlier in the day.
Which
you really,
one?
You really saved my ass on that one.
Oh, what, the books that you were cutting?
No, today, not yesterday.
Man, look, every day is the same to me right now.
All right. Let me refresh because I have a little thing.
that's what she said.
I'll tell you that. I asked for a calling. I needed help with a calling. And everybody that I referenced helped out, and then even more people helped out. And it wasn't like they were piling on, making... Remember, we both were like, dude, when I want to cut 3 books out of my purchases because I can't afford them, the last thing I need is people like, hey, you should buy these 5 too. On top of, like, no, I have to reduce this by 3, not buy 5 more on top of it. So yesterday, fantastic. Everyone was very, very helpful. It was quite amazing, the group of friends that we have, support system around us.
They're okay.
They're pretty darn good.
All right, they're good.
So thank you, Legionnaires. Come on to the summer hammock with us. But today I reach out to Mr. Ferretti because I read the first volume of New 52 Grifter and I loved it. It was probably the first
time. Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Any Grifter. But I loved it. I was like, all right, aliens that can look like humans and only he can figure this out. All right, I'm in. But then I realized there was never a volume 2. But with the DC sale going on, I could buy the individual issues and run out the series, which I think ended at 12 or 15 or something. So I reached out to, you know, of course, the host of Comic Talk Today. He reads especially reads everything. He's Mr. Wildstorm, Martin Ferretti.
Never heard of him.
So continue. I reached out to him, Legionnaires, and expressing exactly what I just laid out. Only read volume 1. Does it go downhill? Because believe me, I enjoyed Paul Cornell when he was doing Stormwatch for New 52.
Yep.
Loved it. And you know how much I love Starlin. But holy Christ, when he took over Stormwatch, I barely could stomach it. It was it was not the same fantastic writing. And I know a lot of people poo even on the Cornell stuff, which is fine, but it connected up with me. It was fine. So I reached out to Mr. Wildstorm, Martin Ferretti, and his response, it was all right.
No. Let me read the exact quote.
Yeah, go ahead. It's even worse.
And I quote, Grifter was .. All right. LOL.
It was okay. It was all right. It's all right.
Well, here's the thing. I fell asleep.
Okay.
I fell asleep. But see, I was smart. I set like 15 alarm clocks.
Oh, jeez.
Because last week I was supposed to record with Ronnie and Travis, and I fell asleep, and I only set one alarm and did not wake up. So we had to reschedule our call. This week I was like, look,
they just
can't.
Didn't move on without you.
Well, so I had a very long day today, Nick. I was at work, and then I got home, and I received an email from somebody, and he's like, I'm free whenever you're free. And I was like, all right, let's do 6 o'clock. And he's like, cool. And then I was like, well, if you want to do earlier, we can do earlier. So he's like, all right, we'll do 4:30. And I was like, great. Oh. So we chatted at 4:30, and it was fantastic.
Nice.
Fantastic. It was Mr. Cullen Bunn. So,
he's good. Did you talk about? No, I won't go into it. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, we can talk about it. We barely talked about comics. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. We talked a lot about comics. But we did not talk about comics in the way most people usually talk about comics. In fact, we may have talked about comics, like actual comic books that he's doing, for 5 minutes.
That's the best call.
We talked like 30 minutes about the tools that he uses to like outline his books and write comics and keep track of the 300,000 books that he does every day. It was very interesting. We talked about the industry and the way that like comic shops order books and this and that and the other. It was awesome. And then I was like, we've been talking for like an hour. We have to talk about the new book that he's got coming out, because he's got a book coming out next week.
You know the question I'm hoping you asked him.
What's that?
And if he answered this question, just give me a wink wink, because you'll tell me after we stop recording. But I'm dying to hear from a creator what the split is on digital, on Comixology.
I did not ask him that.
Damn it.
I did not.
Because every creator, when you bring up digital, they always are like, meh.
Yeah.
So either the split sucks or... like something is weird with Comixology, because no one holds it in any regard. It's almost like it's free money, which I guess you could treat it that way, but
that's
like that
point.
Is not the bread and butter.
I should have thought about that.
Even Joe Pruitt at C2E2 last year, even he was like,
yes.
He could have cared less about it.
Yes. Well, I do want to, I need to put this question on my queue of questions. Here's the thing, Nick. I'm extremely unprofessional, and I don't prepare any questions ahead of time.
Yep. But what do you do for Comic Talk? Now that's what you do for Nerdy Legion, but what do you do for Comic Talk today?
So for Comic Talk today, I do the exact opposite. I also prepare nothing ahead of time. It's like when Cullen and I were chatting over email, we've been talking since like Sunday or Monday. He's like, is there like stuff that you want to talk about? And like part of me doesn't want to scare some of these guys off. You know what I mean? Cause like the way that I do it is so informal that I don't want to be like, okay, like we're pretty much just going to start talking and see what happens.
Right.
In fact, we got on the call and started talking, and like a minute and a half in, I'm like, holy crap, I should be recording this. Cause usually like as soon as I start, I hit record.
Right.
Right. But some of these guys, like, they're a little different. They're picky sometimes. Sometimes they want to make sure that they know when we start, or there's, like, stuff that they don't want to talk about while I'm recording, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just – we got into something. I can't remember how it came up, but we started talking. And he's like, yeah, so I was doing such and such in Scrivener. And I was like, Scrivener? I was like, I know that Scrivener. I don't know if you ever used Scrivener before.
Mm-mm.
Back in the day, I used to try to do a lot of writing on the computer, and so I looked for like minimalist word processing programs. And Scrivener was one that I looked at. It's not very minimalist. It's actually really good because you can, I know you used Evernote. You know how in Evernote you can do like folders and create like books and like
yep.
put different stuff in different books. Like Scrivener works kind of the same way. And, gotcha. So I'd used it in the past. And so once I realized what we were talking about, I hit record then. And it just kind of steamrolled from there.
You know what you could do with the creators?
What's that?
Just send them the link to your Ryan Wynn interview. Cause that I think perfectly shows, like, we talk a little bit about your comic book, but if you think this is going to be a CBR interview where all it is an infomercial for your comics,
yeah,
it's not. We're going to go places, and we might do a quiz about your favorite comic book character, or yeah. We might, like, it's going to be fun and light, but it is not a half hour infomercial for just your like, at this point, you almost just want to be like, Comic Talk Today is not a shill infomercial for your book. Yes, we'll talk about it, but we sort of want to just get to know you.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure there's plenty of creators that are like, hell no, why would I want to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not going to get Alan Moore. All of a sudden, Alan Moore is not going to break down and like, oh, I knit every night. Like, you're not going to find that out.
Well, you never know.
The smoke and mirrors. He's a warlock. Watch out.
Yeah. No, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I think, you know, like, I try to approach it differently depending on who it is. Like, when I've had some of the Kickstarter guys on, for example, like, mm-hmm. It seems like on that kind of thing, I should talk about more about the book than anything else because, like, you know, they're on a kind of a time crunch to get these things done, right?
Yeah, but also you're not going to be throwing out their Kickstarter link every 15 minutes.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there's guys like Ryan Wynn, for example. I mean, I talk to Ryan on Twitter all the time, you know? Mm-hmm. So I can approach it a little bit differently. A guy like Cullen Bunn, I feel like I could do differently also, because, I mean, like, think about how many interviews a guy like Cullen Bunn does.
Hell yeah.
Right? Like, do you think he wants to talk about, like, the ending of X-Men Blue again? Or, like, you know, the ending of Harrow County. What was it like to write Harrow County for 32 issues? Like, nobody, well, I mean, people care, but, like, he doesn't want to talk about that.
I would say plenty of people care about that stuff as don't care about that stuff.
Sure.
But looking at it from his POV, I can guarantee you the last thing he wants to do is, here comes my cookie cutter answer to your cookie cutter question. Obviously, you probably didn't read that book. You just read somewhere that Harrow County's ending.
Yeah.
Or that I'm doing the Asgardians of the universe.
Yeah, right.
Like, everybody has asked me these cookie cutter questions. So here's my pat response answer.
Yep.
Which, well, luckily to your credit, you don't do that.
So, I don't. And the thing was, like, Ronnie just had him on Ultimate Marvel Podcast.
Yeah, which was fantastic.
Right. And so, like, I don't want to ask him the same questions Ronnie asked him. You know?
And I even told Ronnie, like, and I agree with him, he has to lay the base work of, like, if you don't know who Cullen Bunn is and you've been sleeping under a rock, here's what he's done with Marvel and here's what he's currently doing. I get that, but I even told him, I'm like, would I like him just to go to a random long box and grab out a handful of comics and just, like, let me read off what was in my hand. Bah, 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 bah. Like, here's 15 comics. Like, yes, I would like to know what he's reading, or I got all these comp issues I still have to get to, but I'm excited about this one and this one and this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that sounds awesome.
Well, and you know, you got to know your demographic.
Right, and even just to hear, like, he would be interested in doing, you know, a Hellstorm book or, you know, a Swamp Thing, but, like, that's exciting.
Yes.
Like, yeah, would either company let him do that? I'm not sure, but it's cool to think about. I never thought Jimmy Palmiotti would be talking about Sergeant Rock, but guess what Jimmy Palmiotti's been doing recently? Talking about Sergeant Rock.
Uh-huh. Yep. So, see, you just...
San Diego Comic-Con, bring it! Bring that!
You just gotta know how to phrase the question. Like, for example, I wanted to ask him, cause, you know, like, he does so many books, right? He's been in comics mm-hmm. for a long time. And, I don't know if you heard about the Gail Simone thing today.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so for anybody listening that doesn't know, Gail Simone's taking over Catalyst Prime. And,
it's so crazy. So awesome.
So she's gonna be doing a new book for them, but her main role is, like, to guide the direction of the universe. Which is interesting, right? Because Illidge was doing that, and now Illidge, depending who you ask, either left or got fired, and was hired by Valiant when all their guys went away.
Hmm.
Right? So now.
Interesting.
Yeah, yes. Very interesting. So now he's the editor over there.
Nothing against him, because at least he was guiding a universe. So now guess what he's doing over at Valiant? The same thing.
Sure,
just with different characters. Like, that's sort of exciting. But to think of Gail Simone doing that?
I agree. And, you know, Aaron and I recorded last night, and that episode's coming out Friday. We talked only about Marvel.
Oh.
It was
you mean
awesome.
Mr. Absolute DC Podcast is
yes.
only talking about
Yes, we talked just about Marvel. And,
I like this.
And, you know, she's doing Domino over there,
mm-hmm.
which is a very interesting book. I don't know if you read it.
I have not.
And she's doing Plastic Man over at DC, which is fantastic.
That sounds not like her, but I like it.
All right. Domino and Plastic Man are pure perfection. Pure perfection. They're amazing. They're super yeah. fun. They're funny, but they make sense. And you know me, I hate funny books. Funny books are for the kids. You know what I mean? I'm not a kid. I'm a 37 year old man.
Right.
Give me some death and destruction.
Right.
But she's got that sensibility where she knows when to place the jokes.
You know what? Like, I go back to what was her run on Sinister Six?
Ooh, God, yes.
But when she was announced to do that, how many people were, she can't do that. She's never done a teen book before. How's she going to handle all these kids? How's she going to handle the comedy? How's she going to, like, I thought that book had, every character had its own voice. It was not just everyone sounded the same. She's good. She's just, oh, God.
Yeah, she's
can't
great.
Wait.
I did not want to get that book, not because of Gail Simone, because I like Gail Simone. I just didn't care about Sinister Six. And of all people,
here.
The Dreamboat himself, Mr. Julian, the Dreamboat Ferretti, was reading that book. He's like, dude, you gotta read this.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, fine, I'll break down and get it. And it was fantastic. And I know it didn't do well, but who gives a shit?
She made Bane into an actual character, not mm-hmm. just a one-dimensional character.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's good.
It was great stuff.
That's so fair. I'll tell you, the only person to take over a universe that I would want more, there's two, but I would say Gail Simone's probably third easily.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would love Rucka to be in charge of a universe, and I would love Hickman to be in charge of a universe.
Mm, yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, funny story.
Both of them are so character-oriented. And Gail Simone is very character-oriented.
Funny story. I did not know this, but I brought it up because I was like, you know, this guy deals with, like, the X-Men. He's done a lot of Deadpool stuff. He's got mm-hmm. a bunch of his own creator-owned. Like, I wonder if he would ever want, like, his own imprint or, like, guide mm-hmm. a particular section of the universe in some way or something, you know? Because, like, that's happening a lot, right? I think Jeff Johns is getting his own imprint at DC. Bendis is doing Jinx World again. Mm-hmm. Like, this happens a lot nowadays. And spoiler alert to Thursday's episode of Comic Talk Today, but apparently Cullen Bunn was approached to develop the Catalyst Prime universe before they actually launched it.
Wow.
And
that's bizarro.
Yeah. And he wrote, like, the Catalyst Prime miniseries. And their original intent was to do digital only. And they were going to do, like, a weird format. I don't know if you read Injustice. If you read Injustice digitally, you know, it's like a weird format. Cause it's like two or three panels per page and they're all widescreen panels.
Yep.
So the book reads very quickly cause it's like, you know, 20 panels to a book and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to do like that kind of format. And eventually they ended up changing it and deciding to go to print. And yeah, interesting stuff. I did not know that.
So that means what, like Christopher Priest wouldn't have been brought on?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I'm curious if it would have changed doing digital only. And then maybe releasing, just like Injustice, releasing the stuff as, you know, trades.
Yeah, I think that would be really hard though, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because like if, like Hickman, for example, or, Brian K. Vaughan, he did Private Eye.
Yes.
Right? So you and I have talked about Private Eye quite a bit.
Like
that kind of different initiative where, I mean, Private Eye wasn't digital only though. It was, what was the deal on that? I don't know. First of all, it's a weird format, right? Because you're reading it.
Yeah, it's widescreen.
It's widescreen. It's a horizontal book, not a vertical book.
But it was originally digital only.
Was that what it was? Okay, so I knew there was something.
It was a pay as much as you want.
That's
it. Here's your digital copy. And then they almost did, it was almost like a Patreon for limited sales of the widescreen, and that sold out so freaking quick. That's why I believe it was Image picked it up and wanted to widely distribute it. And the only way Brian K. Vaughan agreed, I believe, this is all like, this could be fuzzy memory. I believe the only way Vaughan agreed to do that is if Robert Kirkman came over and did something on their their publishing arm. And then Kirkman said, yeah, I'll do that if you come and do something on, I thought it was Walking Dead. He did something.
Yep. And they just did the same thing. They just did the same thing with Barrier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which Barrier came out, I think, for Free Comic Book Day. They put out the first issue. Yeah. And then they had some deal where they're putting out issue 1 through 5 weekly, and that's it. That's going to be the only time you get it in print. If you want to get it, you go to the Panel Syndicate website, you do the name your own price, or you're done.
That's so cool.
Right? Because I don't think they're doing trades on these. Well, they say that, but I think they said that with Private Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They said that with Private Eye. So we'll see.
And I hate to say it, I don't know what did they do. Did Image publish that on the same type of paper as they do their bigger, like, omnibus collections?
Oh, God.
Like, it's the heavy, glossy, really, really nice paper. It really stood out when they put out that widescreen format.
Yeah.
It was so different. Yeah, it was, it's such a good story, too.
Yeah. But you know what's cool too?
That would
though.
Be a story I would give to somebody who's like, I hate Brian K. Vaughan. Like, I get, like, Saga would be at the complete opposite end. It would have to be like Why the Last Man or Private Eye.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yep, yep. I should talk to Brian K. Vaughan before he gets too big. I'm just kidding.
Totally.
And
you should talk to Marcos Martin just so I can hear an interview with him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That would be awesome. But but no, I'd love to talk to him about that. Like, the reasoning behind this whole thing, right? Because, like, you've got to be a Brian K. Vaughan and a Marcos Martin to be able to do that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you can't just be a nobody and do this. And
I think
that's such a hindrance, though, to, like, comics in general.
But didn't Trent Reznor do the same thing?
Yeah, but, like,
where it was like, I don't care about Trent Reznor. No, but my point is, here's my new album. Pay whatever you want.
Oh, right,
pay
right.
Pay 99 cents, pay $99, but, I'm giving away this music. And guess what? Some people paid $25, $30 where other people are like, 99 cents. I'll take it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you're right. It has to be a Nine Inch Nails person. It has to be like a huge person that, guess what? If they lost money on one form of their art, that's okay. It's not going to be a big dent to them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Radiohead had done the same thing also.
Yeah. I mean, starving artists can't do that.
No.
You think an artist can, like, draw 5 issues and spend 5 months on a series and not get paid at all for it? That would be really, really rough to do.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, you know, like, Cullen's kind of done something like that. The new book that he's got, Shadow Roads, the first issue was free on New Comic Book Day. And then the issue actually just came out, I want to say, like, 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same exact material.
Mm.
But I guess it worked because, you know, we were talking about it. He did the same thing with Six Gun and that did very well. I mean, Six Gun ran for a long time. So.
Yeah, but you would have to, cause doesn't Kirkman, I could swear it was somebody at least at Kirkman's level. Maybe it was, Brian K. Vaughan, but I heard that Kirkman pays the artist and the inker and the letterer and the colorist out of his own pocket before the book gets published. And then when the money comes in, that's how he recoups. So but it takes somebody like that. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not pulling out a big wad of cash and being able to, like, front load. So everyone gets paid and that's their motivation instead of worrying about their checks. Like, who could afford that other than Robert Kirkman or Brian K. Vaughan?
Well, you know, that was the reasoning behind CrossGen. I don't know if you remember CrossGen from
Didn't they get insurance? Like, they were based out of Florida and they got insurance, which
yeah,
is
Yeah, they were
crazy.
Set. I think they had an office in, like, Tallahassee or, like, around that area. They had their own building And everybody that worked for CrossGen was not freelance. They were an employee of CrossGen. So they were salaried employees. They got health insurance. They got life insurance. They got a 401k. They, like, got relocation allocations if they wanted to move down to Florida to work there.
Yeah, pre-internet, so.
Pre-internet?
And yeah, I mean, it'd be hard to conversate with people back then.
So. Sure, sure. But it really showed in the work, right? Like, they were doing really innovative stuff with the formatting, with the paper stock, the types of stories that were being told, and it worked until it didn't work.
Yeah, it also could really link up that universe because everybody is on the same floor talking to each other. It's like the old Marvel bullpen.
Yeah.
Like, right. Oh, you want to go talk to the artist that's doing, you know, so and so? You just walk two rooms down and there they are. Like, there is something to be said of that, but when I heard of CrossGen getting insurance, that was the thing that I was like, wow, if that happened today, I wonder, sure, maybe a 20-year-old could care less. But you start talking to the elder statesman of comics and you mention like, hey, we'll pay for your insurance too. I could see a lot of people being like, I'll take a lower page rate or a lower, you know, work rate, but I get insurance. That would offset a lot, especially if you're a 40, 50-year-old dude, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, insurance is expensive, dude.
Hey, and talk about innovative. I mean, what was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
That was pretty innovative.
Yep.
And then to move to Florida where, what, there's no estate tax?
No property tax.
Yeah.
No, and also no income. Oh, wait, no, it's the other way around. No income tax, but property tax is higher.
But you're still putting some money back in your pocket.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, CrossGen's really interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, it was a good good discussion. Good discussion.
It sounds good. Did you bring up Venom, of course, for me?
Did I bring up Venom? No.
Damn you.
I brought up the greatest mutant of all time, Emma Frost, though.
Of course.
Stay. Because, like, I wanted to throw in something in there about X-Men. So my question was, why is Emma Frost the greatest mutant of all time, and when will you be writing Emma Frost? And, of course, I mean, like, Emma's in X-Men Blue right now, so... but, you know, I wanted a little more. I wanted to see what Mr. Bunn's reaction was. And of course he loved the loaded question. And, we talked about Emma for a few minutes and then ended up talking about the third best mutant who may be one of his favorite mutants. And that's Magic.
Jubilee?
So, Magic.
What?
Jubilee. Who's that?
She's right there with Boom Boom.
Oh, it's a she. I thought it was a guy. Never heard of him. Jubilee like Krieger? That is that who we're talking about? Jubilee Krieger?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, no. Rob Krieger is dead to me.
Don't say that. No. No. I won't let that happen.
I've been ragging on him for days now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's great. Matter of fact, Aaron and I will rag on him on Friday's episode.
Ooh, all right. I'll listen to that. he's a good sport.
He is. Rob's the best. Rob is the best.
But he should be watching X-Men animated series. That's
dude,
just
like,
wrong.
Who has not seen that? I don't understand. Like, look,
I'm older than Rob, and I watched.
I was gonna say,
yeah, come on, it was darn good. It was hokey as heck, but it was darn good.
He's like, oh, well, I was 17 when that came out. I'm not gonna watch a cartoon for children.
I know.
And yet you're buying like a million comic books, Rob Krieger.
We're going to put you on blast, Rob Krieger, Rhymes with Seeger.
Rob Krieger from the Geek Brunch Retrocast found at geekbrunch.com or at Geek Brunch Podcast or on iTunes or Google Play and all the other places. You should go listen to the episode of Geek Brunch with Rob Krieger, Rhymes with Seeger.
Yeah.
Also starring, who's on there? Chris and Mike.
Yes.
Yes.
Or listen to Rob being spotlighted on Mike's Collector's Corner, which
yes.
I just wanted to hear more of that collector. I am not a collector. I'm a reader. Mike asked, he wanted me to read Amazing Spider-Man 1. So he had two digital copies when he bought the book. So he gave me his second, which was fantastic. Thank you, Mike. He's our number one support, and shout out to him. He's always allowed on the summer hammock. But so he sent me his second code, which I totally appreciated, loved the issue. But he, the way he phrased it was, do you think you would ever want to read Amazing Spider-Man 1? And I wrote back to him, Mike, I want to read every comic book that comes out. But do I want to pay for every comic book that comes out? That's another question. So then he's like, oh, good, because I have an extra digital copy. I'm going to send it to you. I'm like, fantastic. I will happily accept that. As long as it isn't a copy with an eye patch on it, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it just... it's so, like, I am not a collector whatsoever, but every time he does Collector's Corner, I swear to you, and I've only heard, like, 3 or 4 of them, but every time I listen to it, I follow whoever he talks to, because I just find it so fascinating, especially when he gets into how do you bag and board, how do you, like, keep your, are they all mixed in, or do you have them separated, how do you store the boxes? Like, I find that minutia fascinating, because I'm not that way. I'm not a collector. Like, for me, and I tell you this all the time, you could rip that cover in half like they used to send back the titles. Like, I would read all of those. I could care less if I'm missing the title head. Like, rip off those covers. I could care less. I just want to read the insides. That's mm-hmm. what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fascinating to me, because I used to be a huge collector. So it's fascinating to hear the stories, especially what got you into comics, what's your favorite, like I just love the minutia of collecting. I love that mindset. It's so fun to listen to. Yeah, so go listen to that episode with Rob Krieger.
Also, be on the lookout for Rob Krieger making an appearance on Gotham by Geeks.
Ooh.
With Chris Campbell and myself.
When is that episode going to air? That was like recorded 2 months ago.
It was recorded 3 weeks ago, and it'll come out when I give it to Daryl.
I swear to God, I almost sent you, all three of you, I almost sent a tweet out today, because I was thinking about it, because I'm like, I've been waiting for this dang thing to happen, because I remember on Twitter when you're like, we're recording tonight.
Uh-huh.
And I swear it feels like it's been 3 months. That's why I was going to ask you off air, like, hey, did you guys lose that file? What happened?
No. I got it.
Because I see War Game Book 2. I see, like, Russ is gone, so we brought on Erica. And I'm like, where's this episode? What's going on? Like, damn it. that's a whole, like, you and Chris's, that's a whole other, like, I love breaking books out of their shells. I love you going through that minutia. I love what you guys are chasing, that, because I don't do it. So it's fascinating to hear that. Just mm-hmm. fascinating. Love it. Keep up. You're doing God's work. Keep it up.
Little baby Jesus, we pray to you.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I'm gonna write a letter of disgust to Gotham by Geeks.
Oh, no.
Because they are destroying the good name of comic continuity and proper episode numbering. Because they put out episode 99. They're like, yeah, next week we'll do 100. We'll do all the 100 issues. And that took like a month and a half before they put out episode 100. Because they did like 99.1, 99.3, 99.5. I don't know. I guess they didn't get together to record about the 100 stuff, so... But they're still putting out episodes. So props to you for doing that.
My favorite part of that is we haven't read all the 100s. We didn't realize how many 100s there were to read. It's like, oh, yeah.
Yep. It's very true. Very, very true. Hey, I have an update for you on the bidet.
Breaking news. Bidet
breaking
talk.
News.
I have an update for you too on a different topic. So let's go on to update corner.
All right, update corner. This is very quick for those of you that enjoyed our bidet chat, and there were many of you. Oddly enough, I figured everyone'd be like, "What in the holy fuck are we listening to?" But no,
they like it.
The bidet is sweeping the nation. Pro tip:
it turned their brown eye blue.
Pro tip: be very aware of how you're sitting in the toilet.
Oh,
because there are times where under the right circumstances, there may be some penetration.
Oh, God.
All right, now your turn. Update corner.
No, I gotta peel this. I gotta peel this onion back. Can I? Okay. So your happy bottom is sitting on that toilet seat. Mm. Could you go pretty far back on that toilet seat and have the water come out of the bowl?
Yes. If you're not sitting on it, it will flow into the wall.
Wow. Can it also be tickling the taint if you sat back far enough?
You wouldn't have to move too far back, but yes.
Nice. Okay. Yes. I like that.
Yes.
Okay. The update I want to provide.
It's time for garbage food update.
Oh, yes. There is an update.
Oh, buddy. Okay. I think we've already talked about this, but I got to throw it out. Have you seen that Burger King is now doing their chicken fry fingers that are pretzel coated?
What?
Have we talked about this?
No.
They're pretzel coated chicken fingers. Like they're chicken fries. But instead of breading, they're breaded with pretzels.
Oh my God, I've done that.
It sounds good. I haven't tried them yet.
All right, for anybody that has never tried this, pretzels, if you crush them fine enough, and potato chips, if you crush them fine enough, will make excellent breading for like chicken, mostly chicken.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Fish, I guess you could do like the chips on fish maybe.
Old Mama Wetmore, she did the Ruffles potato chips.
Yeah, oh, it's good stuff. Just like original? Well, I guess so, right?
And she did not crush them up too much. They were like the size of I would say nickels.
Wow, really?
The size of the crunch.
Interesting.
Yeah, but as long as you have a nice egg wash, and that egg wash is pretty thick, they'll stick.
Gotta have the egg wash.
Heck yeah.
Gotta have it.
Okay, another update. And this is a garbage food trend update.
Ooh.
You know what the new trend is in garbage food?
Making everything nacho something.
Oh, God, I wish. No, but you're very close. It's making something else into everything.
Oh.
And that something else is pickle flavor.
Wait, I've heard of something like this. What did I hear about?
Like I've seen dill pickle potato chips.
Sure.
Twitter legionnaires, don't even front on me with dill flavored potato chips. Get them out of here. Have I had dill flavored peanuts? Yes, I have. Old school. Get them out of here. I'm not even talking about that crap. Don't even bring those tweets. What I'm talking about are game changers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you two right now. One from the Drive Up Sonic. They have a pickle flavor slushy that's out now.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I haven't tried it, so I'm sorry, Legionnaires, to let you down. I have not tried this garbage food. I can only say that it's a pickled flavor slushy that you can combine up with other slushy flavors. And I hate to say it, how does a blueberry pickle flavor slushy, how does that even, like, what flavor are you combining with pickle juice? That at all sounds appealing. Okay, but Legionnaires, I took one for the team today, just today. You know what's that? The old Kentucky Fried Chicken?
What's that?
Pickle-flavored chicken sandwich.
Oh, count me in. No, this is good.
No, I will disagree. I had it. I tasted it, my friend.
Oh?
Now, if you were going to tell me they were going to take, because you know it's better living through chemicals. All I want,
always.
I like those nacho fries, that's just the Dorito dust put on fries.
Correct.
I mean, let's stop with the madness. That's all it is. But that's science. KFC, they punked out. This pickle-flavored crispy chicken sandwich, yes, it's pickle-flavored, but all they did was take a squirt bottle of pickle juice and squirt it on top. Yes!
No!
And if they would have given me the pickle, like the crapola dust that you get on the pickled potato chips, sign me up. All day, I'm paying money. I'm paying money. But I literally got this thing, and the entire bun was wet. It was like you could stick your finger into it and it would not bounce back. It was covered in wetness. My guess is I was probably the only person that has ever ordered this pickle sandwich. And they were like, oh, this mother effer wants this. All right, let's give him the squirt bottle. Boom. And it was, when I unwrapped the thing, even the paper, honest to God, had a thin covering of pickle juice liquid at the bottom. So I took a couple of bites, and then that went, guess, you know who got that? The roadside raccoon, because it went right out the window. Enjoy it, Mr. Raccoon. But I had to try it. I took a couple bites, but I couldn't bear to think of how they punked out instead of having the pickle juice dust. I want better living through chemicals.
Well, and
it
not
all
even
sounds
that.
Good.
Are you
but
telling
I
me?
Hate, like, I hate any restaurant that, like, gives you a crispy, whatever it is, crispy skinned piece of fish, a crispy chicken breast, and then they slather on gravy on top of it, a sauce on top of it, and then guess what happens to the crispy? There it goes, right out the window.
No more crispy.
Good thinking, dum-dum. Like, if I'm gonna get, like, chicken biscuits with, like, biscuit gravy, you know what you do with that gravy? You put it on the side. Let me add it the way I want to add it. I don't want it soggy.
No.
But they had a shot. KFC, you had a shot, and you fucked it up.
That's a damn shame.
And you know who owns, you know what other company owns, like, their father and type companies, and they're always connected together?
What?
Taco Bell.
What?
How could Taco Bell allow KFC to bring punk ass shit in?
What? That makes no sense. Taco Bell's got a chef in-house developing all of this.
Yes.
Wow.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
I think we should start a petition to at Taco Bell. You can tag it hashtag soggy bottoms.
Soggy buns.
Soggy buns,
no funds.
Dear at Taco Bell, hashtag, oh wait, no. We attended your nearest KFC establishment and tried the pickle chicken sandwich. And let me tell you, we were not impressed. You, Taco Bell, are the king of all garbage food with your massive array of in-house chefs at your headquarters. You should at least donate one of these to your brethren at KFC so that they would understand how to create 3 million different recipes and place them all on your menu with just 3 ingredients. Shame on you, Taco Bell. Hashtag soggy bottoms.
Now, I'm not going to throw KFC under the bus too much, because if you have you, and this is coming from a little boy who spent 3 years in Oklahoma, I still wouldn't consider myself Southern, but still, I know good Southern food when I have it. Have you had KFC's Nashville hot chicken?
No.
It's actually pretty good as a fast food version of Nashville hot chicken. Like it is pretty damn hot. It is, they did bring that. That was impressive. So I was figuring pickle. Oh man, this is going to be a home run. No way this isn't going to be. And I hate to say it, if the pickle juice would have been a little thicker, like a barbecue sauce consistency, I would have been all over that. But no, it tasted, and the texture of it, especially in my little wrapper, the liquid was at the bottom of the wrapper, like I said, and it looked like water. It looked like pickle juice. So it's like, no, you don't get anything, and you don't get any credit. You went out and bought a 25-gallon drum of pickle juice. That's all up. Or you're using the juice that you would take the pickles out of for your sandwiches. You're using that. Give me a break.
You know who got it right? You know who got it right?
Blast.
You know who got it right? It's Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, there you go.
They required no chemicals to give me a pickled chicken sandwich. You know why? Because all it is that delicious, sweet little bun that they use, a fat piece of breaded fried chicken, and 3 little slivers of pickle chips. That's it. No sauce or anything.
Those chips are great.
They are. Well, Nick, I also have junk food updates. Oh, and?
Just on the Chick-fil-A tip.
Yeah.
I will give them credit as the best fast food biscuit you'll ever get. It is a Southern style biscuit. It's not good for you. It's a heart attack biscuit. But you get that. You get their crispy chicken in the biscuit in the morning. Yes. Is it a heart attack on a plate? For sure.
Yes.
You can't do it all the time, but holy Christ, is that a good sandwich to wake up to.
Best biscuits in the country, still Bojangles.
Wow, I've never been to a Bojangles, but I'd love to go to a Bojangles.
A staple of Southern cooking, that Bojangles is. And that they have good. They have the best tots. They call them bow rounds. They call them bow rounds. They are potato goodness in the mm-hmm. shape. It's like they're a little bigger than like a silver dollar.
Ooh.
Okay. And they're kind of thick. They're like, I don't know, a quarter inch thick, maybe mm-hmm. half an inch thick. They're thick. So when you order an order of bow rounds, you only get like 5 or 6 bow rounds. But it's like dense potato goodness. You should check
them
out.
And the steam doesn't make the crispy outside soggy?
Nope.
Oh, that's the best.
And they probably cook it in like lard or something because it's the South. They're delicious.
So the Burger King tater tots are round, the size of a quarter.
Yes.
But those are garbage. And they are garbage. In the best way that we're – I won't even say garbage. They are junk. They're trash.
Yes.
Because they're so small that when they get dumped into the little container,
they dry up.
The steam from them just everything's a wet mush. Yep. Wet mush goo.
Wet mush goo with a hard exterior shell.
I gotta go to this Bojangles.
You gotta find a Bojangles.
Yeah.
Can you Uber Eats Bojangles?
Yeah, can they deliver all the way up by Chicago?
Garbage food update, the nacho fries are back at Taco Bell, so I forgive the nastiness that is this pickle juice chicken sandwich at mm-hmm, KFC. Mm-hmm. Nacho fries are back. They should have been back as of last Thursday. So just so you know, if you were upset when we talked about this, that they were no longer being served, they're back. Head to your local Taco Bell, tell them Nick and Martin sent you. And when they ask who, just slap him in the face.
Actually, when you say Nick and Martin sent you, you know what you're going to get?
What?
You're going to get an extra helping of nacho cheese sauce right on top of those fries when you open them up. That's the Nick and Martin special. You know what's interesting about them coming back? And I'm what's sure that? You've noticed this too. The first time they get released, they're under the radar.
Yeah.
Almost like this is something we really shouldn't be doing, but we're going to test it out. We're just gonna subtly put them on the menu. When you do the drive through, here's a little sign that says nacho fries now available. Oh, what are nacho fries? I'm not sure. Now, all of a sudden, there's a nacho fries combo pack. And on the front of their windows are gigantic posters. Nacho fries are back.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were caught unawares. I think they didn't expect it to be a rocking out success.
They did not.
And they're damn good.
They're delicious.
I mean, I would, Martin, you've had them. I would highly recommend that you don't pick up your Batman 25 issue from 1952. I would not recommend eating nacho fries with your Batman open.
Definitely not.
Your finger, you might as well chop off your fingers because they're going to be useless. The amount of grease and dust and oil all over those things. Ugh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage food update number two.
Ooh, number two.
Since we were talking about Ruffles earlier.
Oh, God.
Lay's has 8 new flavors coming to your store.
Ooh, are these going to be those vote-on flavors?
As far as I know, they're not vote-on flavors.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
Yes. It's just like a limited edition Lay's potato chips.
Mm.
Are you ready for these?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have you rate them as we go.
Ooh, okay. Out of a 10 scale. 10 scale. Okay.
Out of a 10 scale.
Ten being the best. Okay. Go ahead.
10 being Emma Frost.
Yes.
And 1 being Jubilee.
Okay.
On and a scale of Jubilee to Emma Frost.
Boom. And 3's boom boom. Let's have an all X-Men scale. Go ahead.
All right. Number one.
Uh-huh.
Lay's Cajun Spice. Inspired by the flavors of the Gulf Coast, these chips contain garlic, paprika, onion, and oregano.
See, this is an interesting one. Because I just had a bag of chips that came up here for the first time into Chicago. And they are called New Orleans like Fest.
Mm.
And they were so effing garlicky.
Oh, really?
Lordy. Like, you will not be kissing it. You will be smelling like a Frenchman for at least a day or so. Ooh, lordy.
You can go vampire hunting with these, huh?
Oh, my God. But they – okay. I Lay's, I'm going to give that a Kurt Connor. That will be a Kurt Summers Nightcrawler right there. Boom.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, I think I'm down with this, dude. This one be good for cooking.
Yeah.
Like, this is something you want to fry some chicken in. You know what I mean?
For sure.
All right, next up.
Or you know what it would be really good with?
What?
Even something bland, like you're eating a bland hot dog.
Ooh.
But then all of your chips are just crazy flavored. Like really, really intense. But the bland hot dog mellows it a little.
Well, I'm going to tell you, all of these flavors would taste great in a hamburger.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever put chips on top of your hamburger when you're eating it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The best. The best. Mm-hmm. All right, next up. Chesapeake Bay Crab Spice. Inspired by crab shacks along the mid-Atlantic, these chips feature crab spice seasoning.
Now, I will say, I had an oyster stout.
Mm.
It was an East Coast brewery that was making it with real oyster juice as well as that Chesapeake Bay seasoning.
Interesting.
And it was so funky, but it was sort of addictive. So this, I'm going to give this... I'm gonna give that an Emma Frost.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that sounds really good.
I agree. I'm down. Mm. All right, next up for our southwestern friends, chile con queso. Inspired by the Tex-Mex flavors of the Southwest U.S., these chips include cheddar queso and a dash of paprika.
Dude,
sounds good, huh?
I'm a sucker for a cheddar chip,
mm-hmm.
And as soon as you threw out, hey, this is going to be a cheddar chip with a little spice added to it. That's a home run. That is, mm-hmm. that's an Emma Frost black costume. That is, oh, that's high up on the board. Holy mackerel.
Yeah, sounds pretty good. All right.
All of these sound like winners. All of these I want to try.
You might enjoy this one then. Inspired by a pizza recipe made famous by Chicago chain Giordano's. These mm-hmm. chips feature Parmesan and Romano cheese. And this is the deep dish pizza.
What does that even mean?
And they have the Giordano's name on the bags, by the way.
Okay. All truth be told, I love me some Giordano's. Don't get me wrong. All about it. But is this just the way you're describing this? It sounds like a cheese chip.
Mm-hmm.
Not tomato flavored sausage cheese chip or not tomato flavored pepperoni cheese chip. Like, I don't hear any other flavors in that description except for two cheeses.
I agree. Those
are good cheeses.
Yes, they are.
But you know where I'm going to put that? That might get a boom boom.
Ooh, wow.
But I am going to try it. I will try that because I like their flavors are really clean on their pizza. So
also,
I wish it was pepperoni flavored. If they would have thrown something like that in, like a peppery pepperoni, okay, sign me up.
I'm going to give this a Jubilee. Because there's no such thing as deep dish pizza. There is only New York style pizza, goddammit.
Oh, God.
Aaron Bell agrees.
Well,
that's all that matters.
He lives in New Jersey. How much New York style pizza does he eat?
It's basically the same.
He eats square pizza.
All right. This one might receive some high ratings.
Ooh.
Because it ties into a conversation we just had.
Okay.
Another Midwest favorite, these chips are inspired by the fried pickles at state fairs and feature ranch and sour cream flavors. This
you
is
know
the
what I like?
Fried pickles with ranch, Lay's.
You know what I like that they did there? The addition of ranch.
Mm.
Does Lay's do a sour cream and ranch flavor potato chip already? Yes.
Yes.
Do they do a dill pickle potato chip?
Yes.
Yes. You know where I'm going to rate this? And I am going to buy a bag. You know where I'm going to rate this? It's the Wolverine.
Ooh, that sounds pretty good.
It's overexposed.
Oh.
Been there, done that. It's overexposed.
So is that like a five out of 10?
Yeah, it's right in the middle, right? Like they already had success with dill pickle. They already had success with sour cream and onion. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to combine up those two flavors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, well, Wolverine.
Let me say this. I just tried two flavors that I'd never seen before.
Ooh.
That I highly recommend. Intermission.
Okay.
The first one is the Ruffles Jalapeno Ranch.
Oh.
Very good.
How's the spice level on it?
Perfect.
So you can eat the whole bag.
You, oh, absolutely. You eat it.
Ooh.
and you can taste a little bit of ranch. You taste a little bit of jalapeno. You start chewing on it. When you swallow it, you start getting a little heat on the on the roof of your mouth, but not at all, you know, like overbearing. It's just like a little like, hey, I'm still here. My name's jalapeno. I'm still here.
Does that mean you're burping? You're burping it up?
No, not at all.
You're like, oh, I'm still tasting that.
No, not at all. It's a very, very mild.
Where does it rank with the jalapeno ranch Frito-Lay corn chip?
I have not tried those.
Oh, interesting. Well, you better hit a filling station so you can give those a shot.
I might. I'll see. I'll talk to the Frito-Lay guy. Be like, hey, bro.
All right.
Hook me up.
Good. Another intermission.
Yes.
Have you tried, I believe it's Ruffles, and I never saw this until I was in Vegas last week, but they, you know that Topocino hot sauce?
No.
Tapa Topo?
Oh, yes, sauce? yes. Topo something. Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah. In Vegas, they had Ruffles flavored, that Tapa Tono or whatever it is, that hot sauce on Ruffles.
Really?
With the guy, the hot sauce guy that's on the jar, he's on the cover of the Ruffles bag.
Interesting.
And that was real vinegary, and it had a little bit of a kick to it. It was really, it was a good chip.
Huh.
It wasn't overdone. I'm not looking for an overly flavored chip. I want to eat the entire bag. That's why I asked you about the jalapeno ranch. I don't want to eat one handful and they're so rich that you're like, nope, I'm done.
Sure.
Put that bag down.
That might be a regional thing because I'm not finding anything on it. Damn it.
I never saw it in Chicago. So yeah,
that was
fantastic to see.
Another one that I recently tried is the All Dressed Ruffles.
Yeah. Oh, dude, those are so good.
So I had never heard of this. Our Australian listeners will know about All Dressed. Apparently it's an Australian thing.
I thought it was a Canadian thing.
Maybe it's a Canadian thing too. I don't know. Oh, you know what? It might be a Canadian thing. It's,
yeah, I believe it is.
It is Ruffles with a mix of barbecue flavor, sour cream and onion, ketchup, salt and vinegar. And they are delicious.
You really get the ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought ketchup would taste good on a chip.
Delicious.
Hey, Legionnaires, ketchup's really good on a chip. Not actual ketchup, but Better Living Through Chemicals ketchup. Oh.
Of course.
Oh.
Is Better Living Through Chemicals your episode title?
Sure, yeah.
All right, let's continue this journey into Lay's Taste of America.
I love that they have this many coming out. This is so exciting. Okay.
Next up, the New England Lobster Roll.
Whoa, holy mackerel. Okay, go ahead. Wish. Oh, my God. Okay.
Inspired by the lobster shacks of the Northeast, you'll feel like you're in Boston eating a fresh lobster roll on a buttered roll. These chips contain sour cream, butter, onion powder, and bell peppers, among other flavors.
Wow. You know where that's going to go?
In my tummy.
Oh, yeah. Me too, my friend. Now, don't you hope? Okay, and I'm sure you've had them before because we both love garbage food. I haven't had these in decades, but remember the cracker that was called Chicken in a Basket? And in your head, you sort, at least for me, I wanted there to be some funky chicken flavor dust on that thing. That's what I'm hoping for this lobster roll. I want it to taste a little weird, a little from the sea, ocean-y, like salty. Like, this is going to, you know what this is? This is Mohawk Storm. You don't expect it. You're not too sure about it. But you know what? After about half that bag, you're going to be like, you know what you just did? You surprised me. Didn't know how to take it. Now I'm all on board.
Mm-hmm.
Mohawk Storm.
On to the final flavor.
Oh, no. The final flavor.
Well, I have some bonus flavors, too.
Ooh, okay.
The final flavor in Lay's Taste of America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sweet Thai chili. Inspired by the food trucks that are massively popular across the Pacific Northwest, these chips taste like Thai sweet chili sauce with a hint of paprika. Now, I know what you're thinking to yourself. That doesn't sound too appetizing. Let me tell you.
Uh-huh.
Lay's makes the sweet Thai chili Doritos.
Yes, that's where I was going to go. Yeah.
And they are the greatest of Doritos. So don't knock the sweet Thai chili.
I would almost concur, but I still like the taco flip. I'm still a taco man. I can't stop it. But the sweet Thai chili is a great change of pace. My issue with that is you're right. They're both the same company.
Yep.
So you're going to get a Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
All you're doing is taking the artificial flavor shaker bottle from your corn chip line and bringing it over to your potato chip line. You get nothing for that innovation.
Fair enough. All right, how about this? Do they get bonus points for bringing back the ketchup Lays?
Ooh, yes.
For a limited time only. The wavy fried green tomato Lays for limited time only.
Okay, now just stop right there. Have you had the fried green tomato Lays?
They were great.
Is that not one of the best flavors you've ever had?
It is one of the best, but...
It's a journey. Like, it is not one note. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, ooh, it's salty. Ooh, it's vinegary. Oh, there's something weird there. Mm-hmm, like, you can't really describe, but it, yeah, you cannot stop eating those Lays. Whoo.
Mm-hmm. The greatest flavor of Lays is coming back. The wavy West Coast truffle fries Lays are also returning.
I've never had those.
What?
Every time I went into a place to find them, they were always gone.
Of course, because they're the best.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say biscuits and gravy, and then I would instantly have to correct you, because those were horrible.
No, they were pretty good. The ones that were kind of nasty were the chicken and waffles.
Yes, I will completely agree with that.
Yep. And my mind was so confused, because I would eat them, and I would put them in my mouth, and I'm like, waffles. And then I'm like, oh, I got to clean my hands. I've got, like, you know, syrup on my hands. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, it's a fucking chip. There's no syrup.
It's like that McDonald's McGriddle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a little too sweet.
Yeah.
Like, for me in the morning, griddle way too sweet. I can't, like, my stomach starts flip-flopping.
Yeah,
chicken and waffles potato chip is a little too sweet. They should tone that back just a little.
Well, if you want to get these flavors, they're available right now.
Are they really?
You can go to LaysTasteOfAmerica.com/store/NerdyLegion. And you can order these directly from Lay's, or you can wait till they're in the stores. I think they're coming out. They'll be out between July 30th and September 23rd.
But hit up our sponsor link. Just click on the Nerdy Legion button. Help us out.
LaysTasteOfAmerica.com/store/NerdyLegion.
Yeah, just click on the button. It'll cost you the same amount, but we get a little kickback, a little juice.
A little Thai chili juice.
I don't know. We just get a little flavor, a little taste.
Avocado toast chocolate bars.
Dude, I thought you were going to say avocado toast potato chips. I would be all about that. That sounds fantastic.
I'm waiting on that. That's going to be a thing.
Okay, now, other than avocado toast, Martin Ferretti, I already know what mine is. Let's go over to Frito-Lay corn chip. They've been experimenting with flavors. What would be one flavor that you would like on a corn chip?
Not
a Dorito, not a potato chip, corn chip. Because the corn chips are usually a little bit more salty, so you have to put that in your head. There's going to be a little bit more of a salt level.
Oh, wow. Let me think about that. What would be your flavor?
I know you won't want it. We've already discussed this flavor profile, and you have no interest in it. But for me, I could put this flavor on a corn chip, a Dorito, potato chip. Sign me up for any and all. I could go for a peanut butter corn chip.
Not me.
And I know you don't like peanut butter, but I think the extra salt, because you need a little salt with peanut butter.
Sure.
The extra salt and then that corn sounds really nice to me.
How about this? Why not keep it simple? Why not do corn chowder flavored corn chips?
I like that.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Corn chowder flavored corn chips. Or like, they have the chili one. It would be good. Like, crab cake flavored corn chips.
You know what would be good? And you named it earlier. I think like a chili relleno.
Ooh, yeah.
Would be good because usually you can have that with like corn tortillas.
Yeah.
So then you're getting the corn from the chip.
When I go eat at a Mexican restaurant, all I ever order is anything that's got a chili relleno in it.
Anything.
I mean, like, it's Mexican restaurant, so basically the whole menu is the same. But
right.
There's always, like, three or four items on there, like the combination meals that have a chili relleno in it. The best. I've never tried to make it. That's one thing that I want to make. Maybe I should go over to Mike's house and see if Barb can make some chili rellenos.
I hate to say it. I think I'd have that chicken enchilada, the green chili chicken enchilada. Mm, that sounded good.
I do like that.
Heck yeah.
I do like that.
Well, good call on the Lay's potato chips. Man, you made me hungry.
See, it's what I do. I'm just here to please the people. Mm. All right, Nick, I hate to do it to you, but I've got to wrap it up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I think we shot a lot farther than what people would expect from us. Let's put it that way.
I gotta say,
we outswung the coverage.
Let me throw this out there. I would say, you know, the people were complaining. Why is there no new Nerd Legion episode? So we should.
Did you tell them that we lost three already this year?
So that is part of the reason.
Yes. We have talked about 7-8 hours that no one will ever hear.
So we've definitely lost at least two, possibly three episodes, for various technical reasons.
It happens.
Nick was on vacation last week, so we didn't get a chance to record. And usually we're pretty good about banking an episode or two. So if something happens, there's still an episode out. But, the cards weren't there. Life got in the way. 8-pound baby Jesus was not in our favor that week, so it happened. All right, the end. If you want to get in touch with us, of course.
Can I just tie up the food combo.
Oh, sure.
You know what my wife just discovered?
Yes.
And I brought it from a gas station, of course, because gas station has the number one spot for junk food. But she is a huge fan of marshmallow. So she's like, hey, can you get me some snowballs?
The DJ.
And I'm, yes. And I'm sure you know what snowballs are from Hosts.
Of course, of course.
They didn't have them. But what they did have was moon pies.
I do like a moon pie.
And she likes the graham cracker thing because she always liked a s'more.
Sure.
So I got her a vanilla one, knowing that one's probably going to be A-okay. That's the standard moon pie. But then they had a banana one. And I even warned her, I'm like, this could taste like chemical, but you know, that artificial chemical banana, like now and later. That taste of banana is just so artificial. Or it could taste pretty good. And she ate it and she's like, here, smell this. And I'm like, ooh, that's like the artificial now and later. And she's like, yeah, it's really good. So like 20 years later, she rediscovered moon pies.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Up in the north, we don't get moon pies.
Oh yeah. We've got moon pies everywhere. It fucking rains moon pies down here.
Yeah, lucky you. all I had was vanilla and banana. Like there was no strawberry, there was no chocolate.
Wow. Nope. I do like the banana moon pie though. That's a good moon pie.
Yeah. She was blown away. That was probably one of the better gas station visits that I brought back. So just wanted to let you know, because I didn't know when we were going to talk food again.
Very nice. If you want to get in touch with us, Twitter is the one and only place. We don't care about anybody else. That's where we are. That's where you should be. At Nick Wedmore, at Geekbind, at Nerd Legion. You can email, I guess, nerdylegion@gmail.com. And actually, I do check that because that's also where my Comic Talk Today email goes. So, thank you for listening, for diving into these wonderful new Lay's flavors. This episode sponsored by Frito-Lay/Pepsi/Taco Bell/KFC Company. We'll catch you next time.